Sing it again. What a friend we have, oh.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry.
Yes, Lord.
Everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
All because
we do not carry everything.
See,
to
verse
God
2. Have we trials
and temptations.
Are we weak and heavy laden?
Are we weak and heavy laden? Come back with the Lord of care.
Precious Savior.
Precious Savior still our rest.
Oh yeah. Take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Sing, do thy friends despise.
Do thy friends despise forsaking. Take it to the Lord.
Oh,
You are awesome to me. awesome God, how wonderful you are. We are thankful. We are gathered here tonight. And because of this night, 2,000 years ago, the full price for our salvation was paid, and you redeemed us. We come with thanksgiving. Awesome God, loving God, caring God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, always there, never absent. Oh God, we surrender our lives once again as we say yes to your love. Yes, for wooing us, we say yes. As your bride, we say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving. Thank you for delivering. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the miry clay of sin and defeat and establishing us, clothing us with a garment of righteousness. You took our filthy clothes, filthy life away, and you gave us your life. Thank you for a new life, a changed life. Thank you for access to the Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you all this wonderful evening. They call this day Good Friday. Before I came to know God and His loving kindness, I wondered what was so good about this Friday, if somebody died, and if we couldn't eat meat. I like my meat. But they said, you can't eat meat, it's Good Friday. I said, so what's so good about Good Friday then? Well, there's so much good about it. Now, we're not going to quiver about whether the crucifixion happened on Friday. That's another message. Because I don't know which way you count it. Friday to Sunday doesn't make 3 days and 3 nights. That's all I have to say about that. Well, there were other high holidays. And if the truth be truly pursued, Jesus rose when he rose. 3 days and 3 nights were related to the previous holiday prior to this particular Sabbath. Amen? But time does not permit us to explore that thought. I've done that before, years back. But today I want to look at something else. Because the emphasis is not just that Jesus died, but that there are benefits as a result of Jesus dying. Now, we know about the benefit of our sins forgiven, but Jesus didn't just come to forgive our sins. He came to address every issue of life that besets us. And if we do not tap into those benefits that come, then we are like the man who boarded a ship. And this is not a one-time story, because I heard another woman of God tell this story about a trip that she took with her partners. They had paid, gotten their ticket, and gotten in for a cruise. Very similar story. And there was a partner that she saw come in the boat or the ship, but did not see all through the times of the meetings during the meal times. She finally saw this lady, or maybe it was a guy, 50-50, can't miss, except for the crazy world of all kinds of whatever, you know what I'm talking about. She says, "Where were you all through?" She says, "I was here. Well, how come I didn't see you at the meal times?" "Well, I was fasting." "Why were you fasting?" "Because I didn't have money to pay for the meals. I just had enough to get the ticket to get on the cruise." She says, "What? Didn't you know that when you got the ticket, you had all of your meals paid for?" "What?" That's how some believers are going to feel, but they won't be able to shed any tears. I guess he will wipe off their tears at that time. All the crybabies says, "Okay, let me wipe away your tears." You mean I could have had all of this? Yes, it was paid for. Tonight, I'm not going to go into all that Jesus, our Lord, paid for, but I want to make the point. Something was paid for. I want to talk about the torn veil. The torn veil. I want you to know that the veil was ripped. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, Matthew 27 and 51, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. It says here, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain." And then it became very specific, from the top to the bottom. "And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." In those three verses, we see what happened. The Bible says in verse 51 again, the veil of the temple was rent. It was torn. It was ripped in two. Why am I looking at this particular aspect? Because the temple had a holy place and also had the Holy of Holies. Just like it was at the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was the outer court, and then there was a holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a place that only the high priest got permission to enter. And he had to enter it fully cleansed, sanctified, pure, and holy. Because if he were to enter into the Holy of Holies and there was still impurity in him, he will die. Only the leader of leaders, only the one that has been sanctified, purified, and presented that purity to the people of God, only he had access to the Holy of Holies, and that only once in the year. Now, this veil was in the temple. It was a thick material, about 3 inches thick. So this is not something light. This was a heavy, thick material that separated, soundproof. You understand? Soundproof. From. It separated the holy from the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that it was ripped, rent from the top to the bottom. That is very specific because they say, I have not proven it, that if it got torn because of the earthquake, then it would have been ripped from the bottom up, if that. It's an impossibility. So this was the hand of God ripping that material. And when he ripped it, the presence of the Holy of Holies invaded the holy place. Now, the Holy of Holies was there, was here, and spread throughout. Are we together so far? But remember what I said earlier, it was soundproof. Why is this important? Yes, the Holy of Holies invaded, but it also meant that that Holy of Holies, where the issues of men were presented, that God, through what Jesus Christ our Lord did, created access. Someone say access. Access to what? Access for prayer. Access so that I don't have to depend on somebody to pray for me, because their prayers will be answered, but mine cannot. Access. God granted access. And that brings me to the importance, and we've been talking about prayer the last few weeks. The first thing the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross was pray. The last thing he did on the cross was pray. In the middle of all that he did on the cross was prayer. The word of God says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. Hear what the word of God says. He says, Father, forgive them. These are his first words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Bible says, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. They parted his raiment. They tore it. And they cast lots. The first words on that cross, Father, forgive them. It was a prayer. So the first thing Jesus Christ did on the cross was pray. Why? Because this is a very important and special deal. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. And the significance of it is shown. Why they did not know what they were doing was they were renting his garment. Access. It's going to manifest itself in the temple at the end. Second thing he did in Luke 23 and verse 43 is that he made a declaration. You see, when you pray, it gives you access to the point of making declarations. A thief is asking him, if you might just give him access to be with him when he gets into his kingdom. And the statement of the Lord is, he says here in 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today, someone say today. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a declaration. He has prayed. He's not held anything against any man. And now he has a power to make a declaration. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, that's a very interesting statement that is going to bring us into a very important discourse. Because the Lord is going to tell us at the end, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So he surrendered his spirit to him. But he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. What part of him went to have paradise? What part of him did not go to paradise? What part of you ends up with God? Oh, because you see, we are a tripartite being. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. the body ends up in dust. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. The soul is what ends up in hell. The spirit of the man is the breath of God that makes the soul come alive. That spirit always goes back to God. Are we together? Your spirit, every spirit, goes back to God. Is the soul that perishes. And the soul is you. The real you. The spirit is God's. Will always be God's. And must go back to God. Are we together so far? Now, that is turbulent waters. If you don't understand it, but we will understand. Amen? So he says, today, you are going to be with me in paradise. He's talking about the real essence of his human being essence. Praise God. Third thing he said is found in John, 1 John 19, 26 and 27. Here he is giving an instruction. And the instruction is an instruction of care. He says to John, behold your mother. And he says to the mother, behold your son. In other words, John, you take care of mama. Mama, nourish your son. Me, I'm leaving, but this is your son. Let him take care of you, and you take care of her, of him. He was given an instruction. So we have prayer, declaration, instruction. The declaration is made. An instruction is given. And now we come back to the middle. The middle, Matthew 27, 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46. And what happens here? Jesus is in agony. And he says, in the ninth hour. This is a very crucial time. The ninth hour. Jesus cries out aloud and he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why has thou forsaken me? This is crucial. The number nine is a number of breakthrough, is a number of fruitfulness. It's that number that determines a change. It is at the middle. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is crucial because it is in the middle of life of challenges that you and I face, that we come to this crucial point where we are challenged and we wonder, is God with me or not? Are you with me? What's going on here? Right in the middle? When I should come to a time of breakthrough, I am stuck here and I don't feel you. I don't know if you're here, if you're here to help me, or what is going on. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to us, you know what? There comes a time in your walk, in your obedience, in you following God, that you're going to think, I'm alone. What did I do all of this for? Why was I serving so faithfully all this time? What did I go through all that beating for? What did I go through all that shaming for? What did I go through all this stuff that I've been doing? And here in the middle, I'm left with nothing. I've even promised this guy, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, sheesh. I might not be able to keep my promise. I promise I'm going to do this and do that. And people are hoping and trusting in me. And now my backbone is not here with me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's agonizing. And sometimes challenges face us and we agonize. Now, it's going to blow either way, because the next statement he's going to make is found in John 19:28, where he says, I thirst. I thirst. Now, we can look at that statement, I thirst, from two perspectives. That when you feel like you have been forsaken, a thirst comes. What solution are you going to take? I thirst. The Bible tells us that following that statement, let's look a little bit further down. It says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar and filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, which is bitter, and put it to his mouth. When you feel forsaken, you are going to try to ask men. To quench your thirst. I want to see this progression. All of this is happening because the Lord wants to teach us a lesson. I thirst. Yes, he's thirsting for the salvation of mankind. Yes, that is true. But this thirst was him talking to man. When you think God has forsaken you, you're going to try to find man's solution. And all you're going to end up with is vinegar and bitter hyssop. The solutions of man will never truly satisfy. Well, some say, well, the reason they gave him vinegar is because they wanted him to feel the pain less. Right. so that he hangs on the cross longer. The solutions of man will cause you to hang in there longer and not fulfill your true purpose. Man's solutions do not bring true satisfaction, but I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was explaining or showing us stuff, because listen, there is no way that God will forsake Jesus, or Jesus truly believe that God forsook him. But he's making these statements because of you and because of me. Because when you have prayed and you have come to the place of making declarations and you've come to the level of giving instructions, which means that you are in charge, then comes from that mountaintop a valley experience. When you think everything is all together, boom, valley. And you wonder, how are we going to get out of this mess? But he was still on track, because he is going to switch off from that place of I thirst to the place where he begins to declare. John 19 and verse 30. It is finished. I accomplished my purpose. What is finished? What is finished? This is a prophetic declaration, because he still has to go to hell. He still has to take the keys of death and grave off of Satan, whoop them, every single one of them. He still has to rise again from the dead. So the statement, "It is finished," was a declaration of faith, was a prophetic declaration. I am going to win this battle. And it's not going to be done by might or human power, but by the Spirit of the living God. For the Word of God is going to tell us that God raised him from the dead. And the Word of God will tell us that Jesus himself raised himself from the dead. So which is it? This is where we're going to understand about the spirit and the soul. Because he's going to commit his spirit to the Father. He says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, gave up his spirit. Hallelujah. Now, that last part of give up his ghost, we'll see the full picture of it in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Here is another prayer. So we have prayer at the very beginning, prayer in the middle, and prayer at the end. Prayer in the beginning, prayer right in the middle, and prayer at the end. This is God saying to us, pray without ceasing. Always pray. Men ought always to pray and not faint. My God, why has thou forsaken me? That's not what you should be doing. Don't faint. Continue. Well, I've been praying. Keep on praying. Years ago, there was a statement made. Push. That is pray, P, U, until, S, something, H, happens. Just keep on praying. Why? The veil is torn. In Luke 23 and verse 46, actually, let's take it off from verse 44. Luke 23:44. It says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. From the sixth to the ninth hour, darkness over all the earth. There was a battle raging. It says, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, right in the center. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said those, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He couldn't possibly be talking to the same one that he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? That was for our benefit. So I commit my spirit to you. He said, no man can take my life. Nobody can take my life. I'm going to have to lay it down, and then I'm going to take it back up. He's given up his ghost. The veil is torn. His spirit has gone back to the Father for keeps until the day of resurrection, where that spirit comes back and contacts his soul that's returned with victory, but now has to be energized again with that same breath. And just like the first Adam who received breath from God and became a living soul, he too became a living soul, the firstborn of the creatures. See it? So in his resurrection, he became born again. Wow. What are you saying? Jesus became born again? Yes. When the Spirit of God was breathed into him again. The spirit that he released to the Father came back, touched him, and he came out. And when he came out born again, he was not like he used to be. So when Mary came and saw him, she did not recognize him. When you and I get born again, we will not be recognized. There's something different about you. You used to be like this, but now you're like this. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they did not recognize him. They were his disciples. I do believe that God is going to supernaturally change every one of us by his Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. When we get crucified with Christ, we die with him. But then we need this fresh breath of God to be breathed inside of us. And that breath of God, which is the Word of God, will change our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I said to us, Jesus committed his spirit to the Father. That leaves us with his soul and his body. But his body was in the grave. If you were to go there day one, you will see his body there. Day two, you will see his body there. Day three, you will see his body there. But he was not there. His soul was out of that body. His mind, will, intellect, his personality was not there. Where was it? His soul, the Bible tells us, had gone to hell. Peter tells us that he went and he began to preach to those that were in paradise or in hell. And they were all released. All the patriarchs, they were all released. All of those that were waiting for their redemption, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, they were all released. And they were raised up out of their graves. But the Bible says they did not step out. Why? They had the possibility of getting out. But why did they stay? Somebody say honor. Honor. When Jesus rose from the dead, and Peter and John heard about it, they ran to the tomb. And the Bible says John outran Peter. And he got to the entrance of the tomb, but did not go in. He waited for Peter to get there and for Peter to get in. Some will say honor. When we talk about the Christian life, we are dealing with the issue of honor. Now, watch this. Jesus, our Lord, says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do." Why? Because I go to be with the Father. Is Jesus Lord? Why is he Lord? Is he Lord because he did the greatest miracles? And if we come and we do greater miracles than he did, do we now become Lord? Honor is not about ability. If my spiritual father were here and he was sitting down there, and I come and I preach greater messages than he will ever preach, and I do greater miracles than he will ever do, does that now make me head of my father? It doesn't matter how old, how much capacity you have. Honor is that which is given to somebody that is due it. And that honor abides with them. Do you remember David, King David? Saul is trying to kill him. Do you remember that? And one day, a piece of clothing was cut off of Saul's outfit. And David laments doing that. How can I raise my hand against God's anointed? When a man is anointed by God, ordained by God, you must give him the honor due him. Do you remember Paul speaking out in response to an act that was deplorable towards him? And he said something, and he said, "Are you talking to the high priest?" And he says, "Oh, please forgive me. I didn't know that he was." Because it doesn't matter whether it was a Saul, some high priest, or anybody. The honor that is on them, you don't mess with. And that goes to our natural leaders also. If they've been given an honor, recognizing the fact that God calls them to the seat of honor and that they are ministers of God because of that, you respect them. Oh, I don't think you're ready for this. Because this is where many times we mess up, every one of us. The Bible says in Jude, it says, even angel Michael did not bring railing words at Satan. But said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So we don't even mount off to the devil anyhow. But we'll say what God says about him. And when we find ourselves going out of step, we repent right away. Say, "God, I apologize. I was so upset. I was out of line. But I thank you that you have rebuked him." Are we together? I said, Pastor, what does this have to do with Good Friday? Everything. On the cross, two thieves. If you are who you say you are, why don't you get yourself down and get us out of this mess too? And the other one, hey, hush, man. We messed up, not this guy. Don't forget me when you go into your kingdom. How does he know? How does he know that he has a kingdom? He's on the cross with me. Honor. Someone say honor. Now, when he gave his spirit up, the Bible tells us there was a centurion there. There was a centurion there. In Luke 23, I think it's verse 48. The centurion, he says, now when the centurion saw what was done, he what? Glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Honor. Honor. Do you remember that Jesus is carrying the cross and he falls under the weight of the cross? Remember that? And there was a man from Cyrene that is asked to carry the cross for him. Remember that? Somebody say, honor. With all the abuse, there's honor. Wait a minute, back up. We don't see it. But Jesus has been whipped. They put on him a robe. They put on him a crown. It was meant to be an act of dishonor. But you cannot have dishonor without honor. Robe, King of the Jews. Watch this. While he is on the cross, Herod puts a plate, King of the Jews. Whether you guys like it or not, King of the Jews. So right on the cross was a statement of honor. Wait. There is a commandment that has a promise attached to it. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you live long. Honor. Are we together? In the testament of our relationship with God, built into it is a statement about honor. Guess what? When the veil was ripped, God was impacting, putting on us the grace of honor. I give you the right of access. Oh, let me put it this way. Anytime God listens to you and God answers your prayer, God is honoring you. When God says, give honor to whom honor is due, he's saying it to himself too. Because God will never ask you to do something he won't do. It's the privilege God has granted us. God, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I come boldly into your presence. And God says, come. Come. Today, God is inviting us to come. And by the way, every veil and any veil that is covering or hiding or stopping you from experiencing the favor, the honor, the glory, the essence of the goodness of God, today, by the authority of his everlasting word and his name, let that veil be torn. Whatever will hide you from favor must come down now. Because if the veil that separated you and I from God is torn, then every other veil must face the same judgment. No matter how thick it is, it must be torn. Because the last verse of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, the very last verse makes a statement. The statement is this, that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, that's influence, and in favor with God and man. My declaration over every one of us, over everyone that is hearing my voice right now on or in the days to come, is that the increase of God that is manifested in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man be made manifest in every life, and every hindrance be eradicated once and for all times. Rise with me. These meetings have been captioned as Rise and Shine. And today I declare that because that veil has been torn, that you and I rise and we shine, manifesting the glory of God, and that the honor of God will be made known in us and through us, that every act that we take, every action, be an honorable one. 1st commandment talks about not having any other God but him. It's a testament to honor. Father, let everything about our lives declare your honor. Let our praise, our worship, and our adoration declare your honor. Every word that comes forth out of our mouths, declare your honor. We rise, we shine, and we thank you this day that all yokes of darkness are destroyed by the anointing, and that your grace sufficient empower every one of us to know good success in our going out and in our coming in. That every step we take honor you. Let your glory rest upon us. And may all men behold that glory and that honor and step out of the way. In you entering victoriously on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, honor was bestowed. That is right. May everything within us glorify you, honor you. And may the life we live become a clear declaration that you are Lord and sovereign. We give to you the honor that you are due. We do so with our words. We do so with our tithes, our offerings, our vows, our commitments, our service. For your word says, whatever it is that you do, do it as unto the Lord. May it be so with us, now and always. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God that you came out tonight. Tomorrow evening we'll continue at 6:30. Have a fresh word for us. And as we go, remember God has honored you. Now honor him. Amen? Come. Give of your tithes, your offerings. Give out of a generous heart. And may God's peace garrison your hearts. Hallelujah. For those on Facebook and YouTube, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening. And those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, within the city limits of Winnipeg or maybe some other communities around here, there is going to be a match or walk for Jesus at 2 o'clock, starting at the legislative building. We encourage you to join those that are going to be walking. Start from the legislative building on Broadway and back there. And when you get back there, there's going to be a rally or service or whatever it is you may call it. There's going to be speakers and there's going to be singing and whatever else. All glorifying the Lord. We want to honor God right at the seat of government of our city. Join if you are well able to do so. And if you're listening on those platforms, and you're here in Canada, and you're able to vote, you can start voting, actually, started today for the next 3-4 days. And then there's going to be a final day of voting on the 28th of April. Exercise your right to vote prayerfully. We want the right leadership in this country. Not the pick of man, but the pick of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. All right. And now let me just say hello.